At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things EVs and technology. We have Will here, hey. Eric, and Chase is not here, at least not yet. For anybody, some news. I was hoping he could break the news, but him and his wife welcomed a newborn baby into their family. And so that was last week. That was the reason why we skipped last week. I wanted to just, you know, let's just give him some time with the baby and the wife, take care of everything, and then just give us, you know, a week break. So so congratulations to Chase and his family, and the baby's doing really well based off of what he's told us. So big congratulations to them. But hopefully he shows up. If not, totally understand. But Will, we got a lot of things to talk about.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
There's some really interesting things happening. The earnings report came out.
I'm being interrupted. You keep going.
Talk about babies. There's some big incentives for people who are interested in purchasing or even leasing a Cybertruck. There's some big incentives there. And that was one of the things that I was going to tease Chase about, because I know he's been just itching to get back into the Cybertruck game, and he's needed a good reason. And I think some of these incentives have piqued his interest, to say the least. So we can jump into that.
I think he said, didn't we send that in the group chat? And he was like, I'm literally looking at F-150s Lightnings right now.
Chase has an infatuation with cars, something that I've learned in the year of us knowing each other. He just, you know, he had the Cybertruck, get rid of the Cybertruck, has the Rivian R1S.
But he rented a Cybertruck in the middle there somewhere, you know, just to go back with it.
he rented a Cybertruck. He wants a Cybertruck. He's just, he's needing it to make dollars and cents, right? And so, yeah, he's dying to get back into the electric pickup truck game. And so he's exploring every option. And
this is where I'm at right now. I've got a Cybertruck again.
There you go. Did the doors open on that one?
Yeah, and it makes a sound, apparently.
Okay, so you got a fancy one.
And you pull it back and it like takes off. That's fantastic. There you go.
0 to 60 in what? Is that a beast or is that a all-wheel
only
drive?
If I throw it as hard as I can, will it ever see 60 miles an hour?
So before we get into all of the incentives and things, the news in the Cybertruck world, I want to just say hi to Jay and Bill. They're in chat. Jay is listening in his car, so Jay, we appreciate you, as always, being here each and every week. And even when you can't watch, you are listening. So we appreciate you. And Bill, you're here every week as well. So we appreciate you as well.
Bill, I feel obligated to hit you with a complimentary.
There you go. Remember that commercial? What was that for?
That was Bud Light, wasn't it?
Was it Bud Light?
Or Budweiser? Hang on.
It was a beer, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. That was totally a beer commercial.
Okay.
Yeah, Budweiser. It was Budweiser. Okay. Yeah,
that's classic. So one of the incentives that Tesla was offering for people that wanted to buy a new Cybertruck, if you bought a Foundation Series, one of their inventory vehicles, they were offering free wraps. You know, so up to $6,000 a wrap you would get with your Foundation Series. And you know what? I went ahead today, actually, and I wanted to check out to see if they had any more Foundation Series in their inventory on Tesla.com. And I couldn't find one. So that kind of seems like this incentive and this promotion worked, because when they first launched this, I went and checked it out, and there was plenty of Foundation Series in the inventory. Mm. And there doesn't, at least in my area, there doesn't seem to be any more readily available. So
wasn't there a story that they were like buffing off the Foundation Series stuff so that they could sell them as the
there was there was something circling around stating that they were doing that. I'm not sure how true that
rumor
was.
Mill, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how they can buff out the Foundation series without you really noticing, because now you have an area that's buffed out. Unless if they're going to buff out the whole car, I don't know if it's worth it for them to. I don't know, but yeah, there was some type of rumor that was going around. But yeah, so they were offering that, which is good. So if you're in the market for a Cybertruck and you were thinking about getting it wrapped, regardless, and you don't mind getting a Foundation series, I would highly recommend going to Tesla.com and checking the inventory in your area and seeing if there's a Foundation series available, and, you know, take advantage of that. You might as well. I mean, $6,000, you know, so why not? But I think the big news and the thing that got Chase, you know,
got him peaked
was the fact that they just recently reduced the price on the lease for a Cybertruck. You can now, I hate when they do this,
include the gas estimated bullshit.
Gas savings. So let's take that off.
Like, you don't know how much I drive, bro.
If you gave, if you give them $7,500 down plus taxes and license and all that, all the fees, on a 36-month, 10,000-mile lease, you can get a Cybertruck for $749 a month, which is a great price for the vehicle that you're getting. I mean, I think if Chase was here, the three of us would agree that the Cybertruck is just a dream to drive. I know you sold your Cybertruck, and I know you've mentioned in the past that you do miss the drivability of the Cybertruck. Chase has alluded to the same. Every time my Cybertruck's in the shop, which it's in the shop all the time, I miss it. You know, it's one of those things where it's in the moment when I drop it off at the shop, I'm pissed off because it's like this damn truck is always something. And then shortly after dropping it off and taking off in the loaner, regardless of what that loaner is, and I've had a Plaid Model S, I've had threes and Ys, and I haven't had an X, but it doesn't matter.
See if they'll give you a semi next time.
Yeah, for reals, right? Give me that cyber cab.
Yeah.
So every time, I mean, it's within hours, I'm just like, man, I miss the Cybertruck. I miss the way it drives. And, you know, everybody that owns a Cybertruck that listens to us, they know what I'm talking about. So to get a Cybertruck and all of its goodness for $749 a month, I mean, that's pretty amazing. Actually, you know, let me pull that up, because I know some people are going to go, well, I don't want to give $7,500 down payment. So let's kind of play the little game here. Let's take the $7,500 off. Let's put that to zero. Let's
just zero down. So it's a G. Okay.
And you include the taxes. So you're in at, if this thing would load, it's not going to load. I'm not going to lie. I have so many tabs open right now because of everything I want to talk about that my computer is just getting.
Yeah, I just wrote down one because I was going to bring up. There was some Rivian news, but, you know, throw it into the mix later.
Yeah, well, nonetheless, this thing's coming up $987 with taxes and stuff. Add another $100. Yeah. I mean, you're talking about for less than $1,100 a month. I mean, you have down payment of zero, and then you got to give the first month and tax and title and all that. So, I mean, you're talking about $3,000 and you're getting a Cybertruck. I mean, that's.
Yeah, that's a solid lease price. And one of the things that I thought was good to look at was the lease terms they have in there, the buyout price already. So it's not a, you know, market buyout price or whatever. It's not even like a buyout price for, you know, whatever your current, like, I don't know. I guess what I'm saying is it's also a kind of a B way. Yeah, there it is. The purchase for $57,390. So that still, in retrospect, so 3 years after three years from now when your lease is done, that's your buyout price. So if the Cybertruck has dropped in price between now and then, that's your option to buy the one you've been driving. Or what if the price, if there's a more affordable version, if there's other features that they've added in 3 years from now or whatnot. So, you know, something to just keep in the back of your mind. It's a solid lease price if you anticipate the Cybertruck to remain the same price for the next 3 years. So that's your trade-off. That's your gamble. But it's such a – I mean, it literally just plays out exactly as the right price, because I think I did the math on it. It was like $750 times 36 plus $75. $7,500 that you're putting down is basically what they pull from the EV tax incentive for a lease. So yep. You're just matching their money. So at the end of it, you're still buying the same price for a Cybertruck. You're just doing it through a lease, which yep. allows you to also get the EV tax credit earlier. But also, Cybertruck news was that now it's fully available for if you're buying your Cybertruck, you can get the 7,500%.
That was going to be the next thing, and frantically trying to find it. Here we go.
It's been like a year, too. Like, I remember when everybody saw that it was in 2024, the Cybertruck, the baseline was already listed as compatible with the EV tax credit, but there was no mechanism by which you could claim it, I think.
Yeah.
It's been on the books for a while.
Yeah, 100%. But now it's available. It's mm-hmm. It's fully available. So,
at point of sale. So that's, yeah, you're down to 72.5 for, you know, your new Cybertruck.
Exactly. And that's what I wanted to do too. Let's go back into Tesla.com and show that. And I was even looking at the inventory that's available now. I mean, there's even savings there.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go over here, let's go to the inventory real quick. And I want to show that. So you go over here, you're now in Tesla.com inventory. And let's go to Cybertruck. And I noticed how these say vehicles not eligible for federal tax credit.
Yeah, demo vehicle. So it's been in deployment since 2024. They probably took the tax credit in 2024 if it was a demo vehicle. Tesla already took it. But that, okay, there's 1,000.
Look at this one right here.
67,000.
They're adding that 5-year gas savings of $5,500. But
you could
take that off.
71.
And you go over here and you go cash price. Let's take off the savings. And you're at $72,490. Yeah. Mm. And so that's showing exactly what you were talking about. That $7,500 federal tax credit being applied. I mean, now you're getting closer to what Tesla kind of promised, right? At least as price goes, you know. So when they first unveiled the Cybertruck, and you know, you're at, you know, just a little hair over $70,000, and that's, you know, I think initially, I think some of our conversations on the podcast were just that, like, what's that sweet spot? What's the sweet spot for the Cybertruck and its pricing? And I think that's what it is. You know, it's around that $70,000 mark. I think for me is where I go. If the Cybertruck is priced at $70,000, it's a steal in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
Compared to what else is on the market.
I am kind of curious about how the next couple of years are going to play out, because I think that there, you know, there's the innovation side that I've talked about with the Cybertruck a number of times. So I feel like that's literally what I keep coming back to. It's that driver experience, and that you don't 100%. Feel that anywhere else. But I think that, you know, there was I worked in Hollywood, so a lot of my analogies are in you know, Hollywood business. But it's like, I remember when like Avatar came out and they were like, it's $500 million. And I'm like, there's no way they spent $500 million in the production of this movie. And it's like, no, they spent probably $150-200 million in the production of the movie. But they spent $300 million developing the technology that allowed them to operate and do 3D the way they wanted to and make it look as good as it did, with computers that back then were like, you know, diesel powered, maybe hamster run computers, you know, in the late 2000s. So it's like, compared to what they have now, I'm saying. So I think that there's a question of, if the Cybertruck process and manufacturing process had already been out there for a little bit, and Tesla had already paid off the, you know, the giga presses and all the all the machines that they innovated and decided to go with when it comes to the Cybertruck, at what point do they pay off all that equipment and then the price of the vehicle starts to reflect a new day for it? A new, okay, this is an interesting new price we can do at, because we've sold it for a couple of years. You know, we've made a few tweaks, we've made a few improvements, and we managed to bring the price down, just like they did with the Model S, Model X, mm-hmm. some of the features in the 3 and Y, depending on market and supply chain. So there's a part of me where I'm just like, I do think that there's a $50,000 Cybertruck still lurking out there somewhere for us. And I'm curious to see when it will materialize. I think that it all, you know, everything depends on the success of the Cybertruck, but I think that it'll come out soon. But I'm curious if there's that 50,000 or even 60,000. I feel like 60,000, you'd probably see them flying off the shelf. Everybody would be like, hey, I'm getting my Cybertruck now.
100%. You know? 100%. No, I 100%, it's going to happen. I mean, if you look at when the Model 3 first came out, when you look at when the Model Y, I mean, I believe my sister, and I think it was when things kind of got a little crazy, but I think my sister bought a Model Y for like 70 something thousand dollars.
Yeah.
You know,
and all done, all in, all options, or
yeah, like... and she pretty much got everything, right?
Okay.
She got full self-driving, she got the big wheels, she got the third row seat, she got the hitch, she got everything. But I mean, 70 something thousand dollars.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Yeah.
That's a Cybertruck.
Yeah.
Now. And what is a Model Y now? You know, we keep going back to our good friend,
Tesla website.
Yeah, Tesla.com. Let me see. I'm going to look at inventory real quick. I mean, I'm looking at a long-range rear-wheel drive, brand new, and it's saying $31,000. That's with the gas savings.
Yeah, turn that crap off.
It's $6,000.
That's with the $7,500 and the $6,000.
Yeah, let me take the gas savings off.
The
37,000.
Yeah.
Because that has the $7,500. But, I mean, that's half of what she paid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is the Cybertruck going to end up? Well, maybe it will. I mean, we paid 100. So if we're talking about 50,000, it's going to be half one day. Yeah, 100. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it will be. It will be.
Yeah.
I believe that. I believe that it will be.
And it's like the idea is that, you know, timing it. So it's like, okay, if I was going to get a Cybertruck again, I'd be like, all right, the day that they come out with that, like, you know, $55,000 Cybertruck, I might be like,
That's the thing, you know. I mean, a Rivian. What's a Rivian? You're in the Rivian game. What's a brand new R1T?
Oh, hang on, let me look.
That's
because it's been up and down since like the Gen 2s came out, and then they were selling off the Gen 1 inventory, like just trying to get rid of them as quick as possible.
I mean, I don't have it off the top of my head, but I would assume a Rivian R1T is somewhere between, I don't want to really look at the one that has like the 200 and something mile range. It's got to be something comparable. I would assume it's probably 80 something.
So you want the pickup truck? Obviously, sorry.
Yeah.
By comparison, let me look, try and pull that up. Buying it. Yeah, R1T tri-motor. Well, do you want to keep it kind of even?
Yeah,
to...
apples for apples.
The R1T dual standard right now is from 69.9, and that's 270 mile standard battery. Or the R1T Dual, which is $76,900, so $7,000 difference, 29 miles on the large battery and the 420 miles on the max battery.
So I think
that the R1T Dual Standard is literally just a crippled battery. It's like the same size, and you can buy the battery size back in the software.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like how Tesla used to do that.
Yeah, they did it briefly before everybody yelled at them.
And so R1T is a fantastic vehicle. Rivian makes a fantastic, you know, SUV and truck. So, and it's comparable, right? Price-wise, mm-hmm. It's comparable, mm-hmm. Mileage. The thing that I've talked about in the past where the R1T kind of just, it makes it hard for someone like me to purchase is just because I want a full-size truck. And I know that's something that Chase has said, that if he's going to get a truck, he needs a full-size truck. And so
And the beds are not big.
I'm kind of looking at it now, and I'm going, okay, well, is the Cybertruck's a better value now? You know, with all of the – what's the lease payment on that? Let's go there.
On the R1T on the one that Dual, you were looking at. $909 a month estimate. Oh, no, that's a payment. Hang on, let me
– I would assume it's going to be more expensive than the lease now on a Cybertruck.
Boring paint included. Lease estimate. Oh, the lease estimate was $909 a month.
So, and I'm sure that's probably with the good amount of money down. And so, Yeah, it's just here. I think Tesla has positioned the Cybertruck in
7,000 down.
Yeah, so you know, so the price is about the same, and you need to give half down with the Cybertruck. So it just I guess my whole point is, if you're in the market for a Cybertruck and you're sitting there going, I want a Cybertruck, but I've just been waiting for Tesla to incentivize me to just click that button and order it. I mean, right now I think is the time, you know. I think it's a time to do so.
Like I said, I think the only word of warning is the whole, if you're leasing it, then you're locking in that purchase price. If you go over the mileage, you got to pay for it. Or if you're thinking about buying it at the end, because you're just like so snug into it, you do a bunch of customizations. You're like, I'm going to buy this at the end of the lease. It doesn't even matter. But then you get to the end of the lease and suddenly, you know, a brand new Cybertruck is $10,000 or $15,000 cheaper. That's kind of where you cornered yourself to. So just something food for thought. But otherwise, 100%. I mean, yeah, because you think about that Rivian lease price of $909 versus $750 for the Cybertruck, and it's the same mileage. It's roughly the same amount of money down. So, I mean, you end up covering more of the Rivian's cost before you buy it out versus the Cybertruck. It's pretty much even cash at the very end of it, you know, for what you spent already in to buy the rest of it out.
Yeah. I'll shut up. No, it's a great time, I think, right now to pull the trigger on a Cybertruck. Other news with Tesla, and something that I was really excited about, was the fact that the Cybertruck now, or not the Cybertruck, all, I guess, supercharging stalls, the V4 stalls, can now charge up to 325 kilowatts. I know that they kind of pushed it out to select locations, and now every V4 in North America has the ability to charge at 325, and they can charge at even more. It's like a slow rollout. They're doing the 325 right now, and that's great. It's a, you know, uptick from 250 kilowatts. So that you know, helps. And when you're talking about something like the Cybertruck that has a pretty big battery, you know, you want to get as fast as you can, because it takes a while to fill that thing up. You know,
I'd be curious to know now. So if the Cybertrucks, maybe somebody, you know, comment later, if you got a Cybertruck and you do a V4 charging post and you can figure it out. So is it doing 400 volts at a higher amperage to achieve that? Or is it 800 volts, which I imagine it would be 800 volts at slightly higher than like the mid capacity, or yeah, I guess maybe like 20% higher than the mid capacity for the 400 volt. Cause it's obvious if it's 400 volts at, sorry, math is not going for me right now.
Fine,
just the idea that, so if you're supercharging right now, it's at 400 volts at a certain number of amps to give you 250 kilowatt charging. If they can do 325, that's only 75 kilowatts higher out of 250, which is, you know, something, what, greater than about a third higher or something. So it's probably doing 800 volts, but it's not doing the full amperage throughput. So they're probably doing it as a pilot program just to make sure that their shit doesn't explode or overcharge the mega packs that are running the things.
Well, I think on what was it, a couple of weeks ago, we had Amir. Were you on when Amir was on? We were talking about charging, you know, CCS adapters and all that. He works in that space where he works for a company that they manufacture the stalls for these, you know, EV charging stations. And so he's very knowledgeable and all that. So that would, I wish he was on right now, because you know, all of your questions, he'd probably be able to answer. But I'm pulling this up because somebody ran and did a test, but I don't see what you're talking about on
so
here.
He peaked at 323 kilowatts. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you have access to like TeslaFi or stuff like that, you can see, I think that you can see the voltage that you charge at, because most of the supercharging, I believe, is 400 volts, and it maxes out at 250 watts, which I think is 60 amps or 600 amps. Hang on, I'll open calculator because I'm old and stupid. Was it? So it's 400 volts. I'm just gonna sit here and sound like an idiot.
No, you're fine. I'm reading his test. So as you're doing that, so. You Rander, who makes some accessories,
like 600 amps.
For
is that possible? Sorry,
No, you're fine. They make a bunch of accessories for the Cybertruck. They're the ones who did this test. So they went from 14% to 56% in 15 minutes. Yeah. They did peak at 325 kilowatts. I would like to know.
It has to be doing 800 volts, though.
He did mention it only peaked for a few seconds.
Yeah, 323.
So that's disappointing. You want to see that sit there for a little bit. I know this is all new.
It's probably just caution, you know. You don't until there's more data. I mean, he says preconditioned. Okay, how far? How long did it precondition? Did it reach the right preconditioning temperature? Yeah. What were the conditions of where outside temperature was 39 degrees Fahrenheit? So the thing was already fighting to keep itself warm while charging. So
there's so many factors. There's so many factors, but it's nonetheless it's great to see that they're upping up the kilowatts and charging speeds, and it's only up from here, right? I mean, there's more to be done. So that's something that's exciting, because that's always a thing, right? When you talk to somebody and they're not an EV adopter and you know, they have their opinions on EVs, it's always, oh, well, you sit there for an hour to charge. And that's probably the number one question I get from people. How long does it take to charge?
Not to get too philosophical, but most people who have complaints like that, I just want to sit down, have them sit down with a therapist to be like, are you okay with the quiet? Are you okay with your quiet mind? Yeah. Like, people are like freaking out. Like, I'm imagining these people like going into a gas station. Like, this is an EV commercial. Here's the pitch. Car pulls into the gas station like a race car. Dad jumps out of the car, shouts something at the wife because he's like, we're leaving in 2 minutes. He runs over to the gas station, starts pumping, white knuckles, sweating. Just, it's like, I gotta get back on the road, you know. Versus like the EV drivers who was like, I'm just going to go get some onion rings and I'm just going to read while I'm charging. I'm going to read a little bit, you know, like I've never understood the argument of being like, you know, it has to happen in like 3 minutes, anything more than 3 minutes and I explode at the gas station. I can't be there that long. It's just, it's the weirdest thing. And it's like, you know, you made use with your phone charges slow as hell and you accommodated your life to that. It just takes like 5 more minutes. And plus, it's like, you know, okay, yeah, I get it. All right, so fine. It takes too long to charge, 20 minutes. Anyway, takes too long to charge. So plug it in the night before, like every other piece of electronic that you're now tethered to throughout your life, you know? Just plug it in.
You're not, you know what? You're not wrong. I kind of use my charging sessions. So obviously my truck is very noticeable. If you don't follow me or know what my truck looks like, I mean, it's, you know my truck.
I've seen like 4 Cybertrucks in the last week driving around. One of them completely blacked out. And I was like, oh man, I wonder if that's Eric. Let me look. Well, then I see you don't have the overland. He doesn't have the overlanding stuff. And I'm like,
yeah. That's the thing, right? So my thing is, if you see my truck at a supercharger, more than likely I'm taking a nap. I kind of just do that, right? I park and I put the seat back and I'll either listen to the radio or I utilize the YouTube and I'll put something on YouTube and I just relax. It's exactly what you're saying. I just kind of chill out and just relax and you know, take it easy, you know, or if there's a restaurant nearby, I'll park it and charge and run to the restaurant and go get something to eat. But
here's your shout out for a sponsor. Better Health or any of those online psychiatry things, start pitching your product to EV people who are supercharging. Be like, we'll give you a free 15-minute session while you're sitting there supercharging. You know, hit him up.
You're not wrong. You know what? Today I was watching TV, which I rarely do, but I was watching TV and there was a ad, because it was streaming service, but still, there was an ad for Calm, the app Calm.
Yeah.
And it's talking about something about green noise and how it relaxes the brain and that. And so, you know what? You're not wrong. I'm going to reach out to the people at Calm and go, hey, you know what? We have this great concept. Don't know if you are.
I'd be like, you guys should just literally.
Even though I just gave them the ad right there.
You don't even need, like, I don't know. Maybe they'll show some love our way, but it's like, you know, just tell them, be like, you guys, you know what app, you know, they talk about all these apps that are on the cars. You know, it's like most of the time you can't use half the apps because you're driving. But it's like, yeah, they're adding all these apps in the cars. You know, it's like, you know which one we need? The Calm app. I want the Calm app in my car so I can be supercharging and just sitting there and like listening to like the moon and like, you know, a dream catcher or something, you know, just hell yeah.
Yeah, no, it's actually a fantastic idea. But I really do use it for that time. You know, I'm charging for 15, 20 minutes. It's not that long, but you could get a 15, 20 minute nap in, you know, or, you know, just kind of relax. So that, you know what, that's what I'm going to do. You know, everybody that's listening to this, go into the comments, tell us what you do. What's your favorite thing to do when you go to your supercharger and you're charging your electric vehicle? I don't care what electric vehicle it is. What do you do? What do you do in that time? Do you listen to the radio? Do you watch something in the theater on the center screen? Do you just go for a walk? Do you go to the local businesses? What do you do? I take a nap. So that's my thing.
Does the trick still work where you can pull up Pornhub through the YouTube app if you have a link? I'm curious.
I don't know. I don't know, but you know what? For experimental reasons, I'll check that out for you.
Yeah. I mean, just do a search on YouTube for Pornhub and see if they have a link and just tap the link. It'll literally give you a Google Chrome window session on Pornhub, or at least it used to. I don't know. It may not anymore.
I've never tried that, but I could do that for you, Will. I'll do that for you.
I get bored very easily and I do a lot of weird things.
It's all good. So that's great. The charging. Something I wanted to talk about too is the earnings call. Something that Elon talked about, which was very interesting. And I wish Chase was here, but because I know he's had an opinion.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
On this in the past, but apparently
he just checked in on the Discord. He can't make it tonight, but he sends his love.
No worries. He's got the baby and they gotta take care of themselves, so no big deal. But something that Elon talked about on the earnings call is that the Cybertruck will be the one and only vehicle that's going to use the stainless steel exoskeleton. And that's another thing, every time I mention exoskeleton in one of my videos, I get a bunch of comments from people telling me it's not an exoskeleton. Stop saying exoskeleton. Well, I don't know. Elon calls it an exoskeleton, so I'm going to call it exoskeleton. But apparently the Cybertruck is going to be the only vehicle that they're going to use the stainless steel for. So that's interesting, because they built the whole Cybertruck factory. I know that we were speculating on the Cybercab and whether or not that was going to have stainless steel exoskeleton. Mm-hmm. And it seems like no. I don't know if maybe Elon said in after a year or so of the Model X that he overcomplicated it.
Yeah, he said he over-engineered the Falcon Wing doors. It was overcomplicated for sure.
And I'm starting to feel like it's the same thing with the Cybertruck now. They're kind of looking back on it going, we did all this. We have the machinery. We did all the tech, and it's fantastic. But yeah, I don't know if we want to do this again. And so that's kind of what it sounds like.
So I think that if I was gonna try to dissect it, and you know, the Monday morning quarterback that I am, I'm thinking that it's this, like 2019. You know, they announced the Cybertruck, and they have a lot of these great ideas. It's like, hey, we came up with this great rolled cold steel, and it's 30 times pressed, and it's like way stronger and harder, and it's really going to be amazing in a couple of years as it comes together. And then they're like, yeah, and then we've also got these architectural batteries that we are going to start using the Model Y, and it's going to literally support part of the vehicle, which reduce our costs because it'll act as a part of the actual structural. No, wait, we can't do that because some of our engineering capabilities, but also maybe some economic reasons. So I think that the Cybertruck was kind of one of those pie in the sky, like other vehicle manufacturers, they always have prototypes. You know, they love to show something at LA Car Auto Show or whatever, where they show you something that's just mind blowing. It's just like so cool, it's so fancy, but they're always quick to tell you this may not be what it looks like. It may never go into production.
100%.
And I think that in a lot of ways, the Cybertruck was kind of pitched at a time right before a lot of changes happened. You know, COVID and a lot of world politics shifted, a lot of resources, supply chains, all that stuff became common part of the conversation. And I think it drastically changed not just the manufacturing capability of the vehicle, but also the market for the vehicle. And I think that since they couldn't deliver what they pitched originally, at least as far as the price is concerned, I think that, you know, at the end of the day, that's just what makes or breaks a deal for a lot of American consumers. It's like, yeah, the car may be amazing. You know, it does a steer by wire. It's got 15 degrees of turn on the rear wheels. It's got all these things. But, you know, this is the price we have to sell it at, because this is what it came out as for all the engineering effort we took. You know, I think that it may just be one of those missed shots. You know, that three-pointer you think is going to go in, and it may just sail a little bit to the right. Doesn't mean that they're not going to win or lose the game. It just means that shot was like, okay, that was a nice try, but we got more time on, you know, to play. We got more time on the clock. So, you know, it just seems like one, and that's one of the reasons why I love the car so much. I'm like, I'm sorry, you know, is it my autism? Maybe it is. Me and Elon, who knows? But I just think that the truck itself is such an interesting thing, and I think that the people who drive it, like, you know, the thing could have like a 2-foot dildo on the hood. It wouldn't matter. I loved driving that goddamn car, and I think that there's something disproportionate in America between the innovation the technology offers us and what we tell everybody we want. It's like, you know, American cell phones have sucked for decades compared to overseas technology, just because, you know, like the ISPs, the average at home data speeds around the world, way higher than what's the average is in the US. There's just so many aspects of technology that kind of goes wasted on the American public. And I think this might be kind of one of them, you know, but I don't know. Speaking out of turn.
No, you're 100% correct. I mean, I'm not saying that Tesla is admitting defeat in the stainless steel exoskeleton game. I'm not saying that. It's just Elon stating that it's going to be the Cybertruck and Cybertruck only that's going to have this feature. But he also went on to say that the steer by wire, the rear wheel steering, 48 volt low voltage architecture, 800 volt high voltage architecture, bi-directional charging, integrated audio with body structure, Ethernet loop communication, all of those features they plan to implement in future vehicles. Yeah. So exactly what you said, you missed that one 3-pointer, but then you hit the next 8. It's not a failure. It's a fantastic success. And that's exactly what you were saying, is that, like, for me, I'm not going to lie, the stainless steel, all that, it's super cool, but that's not the reason why I bought the truck.
Yeah.
And that's not the reason why I love the truck. I love the truck because of the driving experience. Yeah. And that has everything to do with the steer by wire. That has everything to do with the rear wheel steering. I love, you know, how they went, in a different direction with the voltage, with the 48 volt and the 800 volt, and all, you know, the fact that hopefully one day when Edison allows what is it called? Now I'm drawing a blank. The backup battery, you know, that I have everything installed here. It's not turned on yet because Edison won't approve it for whatever reason. But once they turn that on, the ability to back up my whole home with the truck. I mean, there's so many reasons why the Cybertruck is an amazing truck. And I don't, for me personally, it has nothing to do with the stainless steel. Yeah. So, so it's interesting to see that they've invested so much time, money, and space, realistically, because they have a whole factory for the Cybertruck with all of the machinery to handle the stainless steel. And it's a, you know, kind of a shame that no other vehicle is going to be able to take advantage of that. But nonetheless, you know, it's a great win with all of the other features that the Cybertruck has.
Yeah, I mean, that's literally the shopping list of everything I've kind of wanted in a car that I didn't know that I do know. Steer by wire. Rear wheel steering is just amazing on the thing. 48 voltage, you know, low voltage architecture, the 800 volt charge. I mean, it's basically the list of, yes, this is the next evolution in electric vehicles. And honestly, all of them should have this. All of them should have all of this, you know?
Bill's in chat, and when we were talking about the charging and the speeds and, you know, what do we do when we're at chargers, Bill goes, I agree in general about charging, but road trips are the exception. EVs certainly take a lot longer on day-long trips. 100% correct. You know, it, when you're on a – I mean, I just recently did a 900-mile round trip, road trip, and, yeah, you know, stopping three times, four times – one way is not ideal.
No.
But what I do, like I've always said, I mean, on a road trip, I stop to eat either way. And so what I end up doing is I go on this road trip and I got my EV, I stop at a supercharger and I go and I eat and I take an hour. I take my time to sit there and eat and relax. And then when I get to the car, it's 100% charged because I know Tesla, they recommend making more stops. And they're shorter, but what I do is I take that long stop, you know, I take a long stop, let it charge to 100% or at least as close to 100% as it can be.
Yeah.
And then that'll eliminate one, maybe two stops on a longer trip. And so that's what I do. But I do agree. When you're on a long road trip, Tesla Tino is also in chat and we know the trip he did. He even mentions he spent 9 months in a Cybertruck. And so he knows everything there is about stopping and charging. And he actually chimed in and he says that when he's at a supercharger, he tends to cook, watch content or relax. And he says in that order. So obviously he was living in the Cybertruck. So yeah, that's a perfect way to do it. You're stopping to charge, you know, he's got the camping set up to cook. And so he's cooking and, enjoying,
unless it's a Walter White situation, if he's cooking out there, you know.
Yeah,
Jesse, we gotta cook.
don't know if he's doing that in the supercharging parking lots, but
like, why does a supercharger smell like plastic?
But yeah, so that's, I do agree on long road trips, but that's the point, and that's kind of where my excitement for the 325 kilowatts comes into play, right? Is that they're upping that and hopefully over time, it's just going to get faster and faster and faster. So now on those road trips, it's just going to be quicker to get to where you need to get to.
A part of the PR battle with selling EVs has been basically handholding people through the vehicle charging process because they already have it in their mind that it takes an hour and 20 minutes. It doesn't take an hour and 20 minutes. You're back on the road in generally 30 minutes or less. They're given all of these ideas about what they think it's going to be. So the vehicle, all the vehicles, I mean, I think Rivian has a partnership with a Better Route Planner. Tesla has their own in-house nav and GPS system to figure out routing and planning your destinations and planning your charging locations along the way. And it's fantastic. I love how far it's come in the sense that, you know, the Tesla makes it kind of obnoxious. So does the Rivian. But the vehicles make it really obnoxious if you're like going too far without charging. They're like, there isn't another charger like before the next thing. So you should pull over here. Like this is the one. Pull over now. You know, yeah. It's really encouraging. I want to see Tesla, Rivian, electric vehicle offer a road tripping option that maybe isn't just get off the highway, charge for 5 minutes, get back on the highway, get off the highway, charge for 20 minutes, get back on the highway, get off. You know, I want to see one where it's like, hey, there's a 4-star restaurant nearby, so you're going to charge for 45 minutes, grab a lunch. It's at 12 o'clock, so, you know, makes sense. And then we're going to, in 2.5 hours, when the next time, we're going to give you a 10-minute break, stretch your legs. You know, give people the option to either be like, what kind of a road tripper are you? Is this a, I got to get there by tomorrow morning? Or is it a, I'm trying to take my time, but I don't want to go crazy? And let it kind of apply, you know, like the old Tesla AI or Grok or whatever the hell it's going to be, XAI, you know, make it so that the car is kind of like, okay, it sounds like you would rather not drive all day. So what about, you know, we give you a 10 or 11 o'clock start time and you drive until just after dusk? Or, hey, you're an early morning. I can get you there in 45 minutes if you want to leave at this time. I think that they're ready to start. They know how far the cars can travel on a charge. I think it's time to start really upping the ante with the intelligence of that planning. Because if you want people to route plan, if you want people to road trip and prove the feasibility of electric vehicles, one of the best things that you can do is give them options to explore about how they use the vehicle, which includes that kind of route planning.
No, that's actually great. I mean, I could totally see you jumping into your car, talking to it, telling it, hey, navigate me to, you know, wherever. It's 500 miles away. I want to eat barbecue on the way there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then now it gives you a whole route. It finds, you know, that supercharger that has barbecue nearby. And
yeah.
It tells you, hey, stop there. We need to make a 5-minute stop before we get there. So that way we can make sure you get there. And mm-hmm. then once you're there, you can take a 45-minute break and go have exactly. your barbecue, you know? And yeah, that would be actually pretty cool.
Just even having the AI kind of just even explain it to the driver, like just give them that blurb. I don't know if they read it. Who knows? But the idea is to explain the logic of, I understand, you know, you're driving how, you know, your dad road tripped with you and how his dad road tripped with him, if that's what they did. You know, they're like, get back in the car in 5 minutes. Go take a piss and get back in here. We got to go. We got to be there by 6 o'clock. You know, it's yeah. not everybody's traveling like that. And no. if you inject just that little bit of peace and serenity, which honestly, these cars force you that space in your day. They force you to have a nice little 20-minute break to charge, or a 30-minute break, or a 40-minute break. It shouldn't be viewed as a burden. You can be there with your silent mind. Cook, read a book, take a power nap, do something, but reclaim your day. Like, it's okay to be you hanging out while you're charging. I'm just saying. But on the other hand, also, I think I saw Bill had commented for faster charging. Yes, I'm not saying that they should slow down the development of faster charging speeds. I genuinely do want them to reach the point where they're like 3-second charging. I'm sorry, 3-minute charges, 5-minute charges from 0 to 80 or whatever they can achieve. I'm all for it. I'm just saying that right now, what the facts and the physics of it is, it's okay to, you know, charge your car and go into the Fridays. Go and have an appetizer. Talk to the bartender. Who knows? You might meet somebody. It might be cool. It might suck. And then you leave. But, you know, it doesn't need to be this closed off weird experience. Like, you know, you can talk to other people and hang out. It's cool.
Well, Bill even mentions, love the idea of choosing what type of trip will like if you want to go all the way to 80% to reduce the number of stops versus quicker stops. And that's exactly yep. what I do, Bill. I use the navigation and what it's recommending as kind of my template, you know, and I'm sitting there going, okay, this is kind of what it wants me to do. But I'll look at it and figure out, okay, at that stop, what I'm going to do is I want to stop there. And I'm going to stop and eat.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sit there for longer because I'm going to be eating and let it charge more. And what I'm probably going to end up doing is that stop it wanted me to do afterwards, I'm probably mm-hmm. eliminating that because, yeah. but it'd be nice if it just kind of did that for you, because that'd be the really ideal thing. It just learned your tendencies. It learns that, hey, you know what? Every time Eric is on a road trip, he tends to stop for one of those stops. He tends to take an extended stop. And
yeah.
you know what? Let's just do that for him and find a cool little recommended eatery for him, because yeah. that's what he does.
Yeah. And it'd be cool to be able to put in there, be like, when's your preferred lunchtime? You know, when do you normally like to eat? Does it matter on this road trip? Are you okay eating lunch at 10:30 or 1:30 if that gets you there quicker or something better? Like, there's so much more nuance that can be introduced now that they know so much more about the efficiency of it, that I'm eager to see somebody start to include. Because like a better route planner, there it's a fantastic routing app, and it gives mm-hmm. you so much granular control over every aspect of your road trip. I just want to start seeing, okay, cool, like we're at that point where, yes, line theory says, okay, I can traverse this distance at this point if it's the short, you know, like it's easy to figure out the optimal. Now let's start figuring out the optimal human, the optimal exactly. consumer, something exactly. that caters to you, you know, the Macintosh moment of, I mean, I feel like that might just be like the only way that Tesla could possibly try to start really addressing both their advances in AI, but also just improve some of their consumer experience. Be like, here are the things that we're adding in to just make our car so much better than every other car.
Yep. 100%.
And this is a feature, and everybody's super squirrely about road trips. Here's a feature specifically about road trips to make sure you're comfortable driving 500 miles in this vehicle you own.
Speaking about that though, let's, I think what we're going to have to end up doing, cause we're kind of getting up against it, is we're kind of skim through some of the earnings call, but we'll address some of this next week, you know, once we have Chase on and we can all three of us kind of dive into this mm-hmm. a little bit more. But something that, you know, even Jay right now mentioned in chat that he's excited about the fact that hardware 3 is going to get upgraded to hardware 4.
Yeah.
And so on the earnings call, a lot of it was, you know, the Optimus AI, the route that Tesla's going, right? And the robo taxi, that type of stuff. And so one thing that they mentioned is, Elon mentioned, is how, once again, Elon time, but he anticipates full self-driving, unsupervised full self-driving to be worldwide by the end of 2026. So maybe a little optimistic, but that's what he's saying.
I don't listen to him anymore. He said so many things over the year. It's super bullish. I go off of things that he hasn't spoiled with the number of times that he's repeated himself and been wrong. So I'm like, okay, Tesla's 2025 most important year. Yeah, sure. Okay, great. Everybody says that. So unsupervised paid robotaxi launching in 2025 in Austin, Texas. We called that last summer.
Yeah,
before the first robotaxi event moved, we were like, whatever the program is, it's going to be a pilot program in Austin.
Yep.
Maybe LA as well, but definitely Austin.
And they're going to be launching their own fleet in Austin before they allow customer cars to start doing that. So that's I mean, that's going to be interesting because Chase is down in the Austin area, so he's going to be able to kind of boots on the ground, so to speak, and kind of give us once we get to that time, he'll be able to give us more information. You know, he knows a lot of people down there, so that'll be really cool.
The prediction for unsupervised FSD I find interesting because everywhere in North America in 2026. So Rivian actually got a lot of people's attention because they sent out an email about their kind of commitments for 2025. And generally, Tesla has kind of a bad habit of, or Elon has a bad habit of making super forward-looking proclamations about things that are coming. And then like some of them make it, some of them don't, some of them are postponed for years and years and years. But Rivian sent out an email saying, hey, we're going to have level 3 full self-driving for our Driver Plus suite by the end of 2026 as well. So seeing that before, this is literally, I didn't see the earnings call. I haven't been on the forum or anything. So seeing that they also called it for the end of 2026, I feel like there's something coming in the next year or so that they know is going to kind of either Rivian saying, yes, we're going to go ahead and license through Tesla because they'll be confident that they have a unsupervised FSD that they can send to other manufacturers, or Rivian is saying because whoever their technology is, wherever they get their stuff, they're also going to hit it by 2026. So that gives me a little bit of hope. I feel like by next year, unsupervised across most of the vehicles would be very achievable because, I mean, Ford does it. So why couldn't they?
Yeah, and
Mach-E.
Don't get started on that again.
Back to hating them all.
But one thing that they did talk about in the earnings call was the fact that Tesla says that they're getting a lot of interest from automakers who want to license FSD.
Yeah.
So you're 100% right on that. One thing that they talked about was Elon was asked about people that have Hardware 3, and his response was, the honest answer is we're going to need to upgrade Hardware 3 computers for those who purchase the FSD package. So that's what Jay was alluding to, that anybody that has the FSD package, but it's Hardware 3, Tesla's claiming they're going to upgrade you to Hardware 4. So that's... That's exciting. That's really nice.
That's
for
nice.
All of those owners.
For a long, long time, there's been way too much conjecture about, oh, well, you know, we were told Hardware 2 would be satisfactory for level 5. Yep. Oh, yep. We'll need Hardware 3. And this is, I feel like, the first time that they've said specifically that if Hardware 3 doesn't get it done, then you will have to upgrade you to Hardware 4. Because that was always something that was assumed back in the Hardware 2 days. Everybody was like, okay, if they went through the trouble of giving us this and then Hardware 3 is the only way to hit level 5 now, they're gonna upgrade everybody, right? And there was a whole hullabaloo about the cameras on the cars, if they would be compatible with the data to be able to use with the self-driving computer, and just they never addressed it. So hearing him at least say that much should give some confidence to Hardware 3 owners.
Yeah. And it makes you feel better about your investment, right? Because there's been so many times where people feel backstabbed by Tesla, right? For price drops. Some people purchase a vehicle and the very next day there's a $5,000 price drop. And so there's a lot of that that goes around. But at the same time, Tesla does do this type of stuff where, hey, you have FSD package, you purchase that, And so we're gonna upgrade you and give you the latest hardware so that way you're able to fully utilize your vehicle and the service that you paid for. So they do make right on that as well.
Yeah, and considering the price point for it, I mean, that is making good. I mean, you're basically an investor. You know, you're buying something 100%. Way above a speculative price with the expectation that it pays off later, whether it be financial or whatever. But yeah.
But you talked about Rivian announcing 2026 for their Hardware 3.
Version, self-driving vehicles from, and it's like Gen 2 vehicles and above, will have what they call, you know, equivalent of level 3, which is unsupervised, where, you know, the driver can be distracted, you know, regulatory, you know, we may be driving these vehicles and taking our eyes off the road for prolonged periods of time. And the autopilot is fine. It doesn't like run over children, burst into flames or anything. So, I mean, the systems are great, but taking away that supervision requirement will be pretty fantastic. I just hope it doesn't become more of a hassle, but whatever.
Well, and then, you know, if Tesla's saying 2026, Rivian's saying 2026, you were asking, is there something that they know that we don't know? Well, Tesla did say that the only thing that's holding them back is just the regulatory approval. You know, they just need government to approve.
I heard that in 2017 when they were selling me the first Model X I bought. You know, they were, FSD works now. We've totally had a car drive from New York to LA. Don't worry about it, guys. We totally did it. So I'm a little skeptical when they claim, oh, they couldn't possibly, because in the next sentence, they're like, unsupervised FSD is a little bit more challenging to train in China due to unique road rules. They're confident they'll be able to do it. No, the reason is because Chinese electric vehicles in China right now are level 3. Mm-hmm. There are level 3 vehicles driving around China right now. And Tesla hasn't been able to apply, I think, their probably rigorous regulatory requirements to getting them on the roads in those areas. They just haven't complied with them yet because Tesla's been firing a much wider net. And now to be able to target it and be able to be level 3 compliant in an entirely different country is probably way more convoluted than we imagined.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. And you know, so the earnings call, we didn't go through everything. I want to save that for next week. I think next week, once Chase is here, we can really just kind of, we could probably spend the whole hour talking about that. But yeah. you brought up China. So a buddy of mine, a buddy of mine actually sent me this Instagram reel that I thought was very, very interesting.
Yeah.
And it's a Chinese electric vehicle that a very popular social media automotive reviewer kind of shared with everyone. And it's just amazing the type of vehicle that you can get in China and for the price. So let me go ahead and play that and share this with you, with everybody. So here it is. Let it play. That's crazy.
Yeah. And that's okay. So two things. First that's off, crazy. When I said earlier about how American phones have sucked for 20 some odd years until the iPhone, that's an example. That's what the technology level and the sophistication and the demand overseas in a market like China and other places, they expect that level of passenger experience. And that's something I've mentioned on here before. I'm like, this is the battleground where these companies, like, I'm sorry, you get in that Mach-E, I'm just going to keep beating on it because I've been on the show in a minute. You get in that goddamn Mach-E and it's just the dumbest, like you're in a freaking golf cart car. And it's like, what about this makes it an electric vehicle? Like, yeah, it's got a little zoomy zoom to it. So great. Well done. But you know, that's not enough. And you have so much creature comforts because you're sitting on an enormous battery. Like, where are you putting any of that value that you're asking people to spend? What do you say? 60 something? So I say $65,000 for that much of an interior experience. I mean, come on. That's wild.
That's a $200,000 car in the United States.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, and they got cheaper vehicles too with like a fraction of that passenger experience. There's the value in it. Yeah. You don't get an enormous amount of range. And in America, a lot of people live a significant distance from their school, their job or whatever. But just the options for it are there for countries with an enormous population larger than ours. Why isn't that? Why don't we have that kind of options at our disposal?
Yeah, but you see, he said 800 and something mile range because it has the little generator in there.
That's the next generation. I am eager to see what becomes of those, because those are actually a brilliant idea. Having a hybrid that goes the opposite direction,
yeah,
where it's a massive battery and then a charger generator, that opens up a lot of ideas. You know, you talk about if a Cybertruck had a diesel generator or something in the bed instead of that range extender. I mean, you know, are you talking like 1,200, 1,500 miles on like a single run or something? Like, that sounds awesome. That's what it should be. The solid fuel should be the backup, and the primary battery should be the not just a buffer like it is on Prius and whatever.
Yeah, I was actually disappointed because Ram, Stellantis just announced, I think in December, that their Ram EV pickup was, you know, originally was going to have a generator to give it 500 miles. They're eliminating that. They're not going to do that anymore. Now they're just going to have the 300-mile EV truck.
Yeah.
Super disappointed by that. But that's the reason why I'm really excited about the Scout. The Scout is going to have, supposedly, see what happens, right? Everybody says they're going to do something and they end up not. But they're saying that they're going to have a generator. And that's what is the intriguing part. If they put a little generator in there, and that gives you enough juice. Because that's the thing, you know, what do you see, you know, we were talking about earlier my Cybertruck and how I have the overland build, right? I have the rack, I have the tent, I have the big wheels.
Yeah.
You know, I have all that. The problem, though, is when I want to go overlanding and I go on YouTube and I see these people that go to these crazy destinations, and Tesla Tino would be the perfect. I need to try to reach out to Tesla Tino to get him on the show because I really, really want to talk to him about his adventures. But the problem is when you're going out to very, very remote locations and there's no chargers anywhere around. I mean, we're talking about Glamis, right? The Cyber Odyssey that's coming up in 2 weeks. That's the problem, right? That Brian and Jerry were talking about when they were on the show a couple weeks ago. The problem is finding chargers nearby and what's the solution? And taking a big generator and all that. How about just put a little generator in the truck?
Yeah.
You carry gas cans like every other gas overland truck that they have those gas cans on the side of their rigs. And now you could do that and you could just fill up your generator to kind of keep you going.
Mm-hmm.
It makes too much sense.
It really does. It's to me, it's the most interesting new aspect to kind of think of when it comes to electric vehicles, because I think that before it's like everything was like solid, you know, liquid, but solid fuel, you know, it's necessary fuel, you know, electric vehicles take forever to charge or whatever. But now we're starting to get creative with what we have in front of us. Now we're like, okay, what if we, you know, had the generator instead of strapping it to the back or putting it in the trunk for people? Why don't we just integrate it into it? I mean, like, how much of this vehicle are we dedicating to vehicle space? How could we cram a generator somewhere in there? And I the cool thing is, like, when I see something like that, I'm like, okay, well, what else do you do? And I'm like, I don't know, but somebody's going to come up with something. Yeah. That's the cool thing. Cause you know, you've got electricity and gas in the same vehicle. You've got options for how to charge it, how to power it, how to drive it. That's literally like twice the car that most people drive right now. You've either got an all electric or an all gas. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. A hybrid is not a proper combination of the two. This is a proper combination of the two, because it takes the most efficient version of the power output from a solid fuel from gas and puts it directly into a battery. It's like they did a study where they were like, literally a diesel generator plugged into an EV is more efficient use of that solid fuel than putting it in a diesel car and driving it.
And now you're talking about the whole conversation that we were having earlier about road trips. Now you're solving that problem.
Yeah.
Right?
You're if able you to are just the one that's like, hey, I hate to, you know, it's like, I don't want to do this with my family, but it's like, you know, hey, I've got to drive like 2,000 miles as soon as possible. Okay. Self-drive, diesel generator. The thing has an alarm if it needs your intervention. Have a good night. Like, that's the future. I'm down with that. You know, a combination of things. Everybody's always like, it needs bigger battery because it needs 1,200 miles. How big do you think that battery is? How much weight do you think the vehicle is going to be hauling at that point?
The technology's not there yet.
Yeah, but we have a solid fuel that works so well, and we know how to use it. It's like, I want to see the combination. I want to see, no, it's only gas. No, it's only electricity. No, like make vehicles that do both or don't, or do one really well or whatever. Just, you know, I want to see all this crap. I hated phones in the early 2000s, by the way. They sucked.
I think you mentioned that a few times.
Yeah.
But anyways, I think on that note, we can wrap this one up. So once again, thank you guys. Thank you, Jay, Bill. Chris joined us late from Accelerating Tech. If you guys don't follow him or don't watch his channel, go give him a subscribe. Go watch his stuff. He does a lot of cool Tesla stuff, Accelerating Tech. Teslatino, thank you for joining us again. I need to reach out to you, Teslatino, and we need to try to get you on the show. But thank you, Will. Appreciate it. Thank you, everybody that joined us tonight, and we will see you guys next week.
See ya.